produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, and thank you for joining me once again on Rev. Lydia Speaks on the Josie's Inspiration Network and the Finding My Way Network. I want to talk to you today about the purpose of a valley experience. Have you ever thought about the difference in your feelings from time to time? I myself have gone from one end of the spectrum to the other in the course of just one day. And when you think back and look back on it, it doesn't make sense, at least if you're just looking at it topically. But think about it. In the course of a 24-hour day, the average person goes through a myriad of feelings. You may wake up on top of the world, only to get a bit of bad news, and that might send you spiraling into a depression. Now, this may last a few minutes. If you're a believer and you can catch those negative feelings quickly, if you've trained yourself to do so, or if you don't have a grip on the belief that you think you do, it can last indefinitely, at least until you can snap yourself back, either by yourself or with the help of someone who can help you come to grips with what you're feeling. But such are the highs and the lows of a human life, right? We've even coined an expression for those low feelings. We call it down in the dumps. And sometimes you may call it down in the valley. Well, let me offer you a little different view of the valley. And we all know that a valley is a low point, usually between two high elevations such as mountains or hills. And sometimes the valley is a dust bowl with no vegetation to speak of. It's as if Mother Nature has forgotten this stretch of land, abandoned it in favor of the mountains that loom above, with the contrast of lushness of grass, trees, and maybe even a water source. But if you look at Ezekiel 37, God gave Ezekiel a vision of restoration of the dry bones that were in that valley. Indeed, it was a low point for the Israelites of that time because they turned away from God and from the teachings of God, causing them to lose their connection with Source. And when you don't have a connection with Source, you tend to lose hope. But God gave him a vision to share of those bones coming back to life, flesh, sinew, muscle, skin, and all, when the word of God was spoken to them. And they remembered with their higher self, knowing who they were and whose they were. You see, that's what happens when you start to despair about whatever it is in your life that has caused you to feel down. We don't see how this can be happening to us, and we are supposed to be God's beloved children, right? Doesn't he know how much this hurts? Yes, he does. Did you ever stop to think that just maybe this is the time for us to sit, reflect, and reconnect with Source? Maybe, even though intellectually you know that God will never leave you, you have left or neglected God, left him on the sideline while you attempted to handle things yourself. And sometimes your handling them yourself results in an epic fail. Now, that time of slow progress, you're going through the valley time, maybe God's way of getting your attention, allowing you to pause just long enough to recalibrate your priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. That means all things, not just a few. When the blessings of hearing the word spoken over them, when it came to those bones, they were reconnected with Source, just as we can be. And this, I'm going to tell you something about a good friend of mine, and it's with her permission, although I'm not going to use her name. She's a childhood friend. Oh, I've been knowing her since we were maybe 12, 13. And she's had things tough from the very beginning of her life, starting with losing parents by age 7, both of her parents. After that, she had to live in an abusive relative's home. Finally, she met the love of her life, only to lose him after a few years. He was in the service, and it left her to raise 2 small kids alone, which she accomplished with God's help, and she has since lost one of them, her only son, to the war in Afghanistan. She had met a nice man, and just 2 months ago, she lost him to cancer. All of this, and she still gave praise to God. Now, in the space of 2 weeks, this last 2 weeks, she just found out that cancer is ravishing her body. And when I spoke with her, she said she trusts God to heal her on one side or the other. And she was sorry for ever having questioned him after all he had blessed her with. And I stood there, the smile and the look on her face. She was serious. With everything that has happened to her, she says, "But God brought me through the valley." Her valley season has lasted longer than most, and she still finds a reason to praise because she has remembered his promises. With each valley experienced, she allowed the breath of God to blow over her situation and renew her spirit. And I gotta let you in on something. The mere fact that this woman is my friend has really helped me in my life. And I have more than just that one person whose story is just as strong, and it gives me a reason to praise my way out of the valley. The next time something absolutely wears you down, give thanks, because you won't be there without God. God refuses to let his people be utterly cast down. If it's pain, I know this sounds strange, but give thanks, because you can feel it, and it's telling you to pay attention to your temple. If it's lost, other than the physical missing of the person, place, or thing, we are energy, and energy can never totally disappear. It recreates itself. There is no death. Jesus saw to that. And remember the valley? When the rain comes, the valley becomes a river of life overflowing with newness and growth, because not only does it get the rain that falls from the sky directly, the mountain streams overflow into it. Learn from the valley. Wait on the Lord, because that's all we seriously have. Nothing that is in this world can accomplish as much as one well-meaning prayer. Sometimes when you know you're just overwhelmed, and we as human beings feel that we should be able to just do the what we call mundane things and not worry God for every little thing. But that's what relationship is all about. God wants to be included in every aspect of your life. Don't you want to be included in every aspect of someone that you love and care for and want to be in relationship with? You long to know that they're okay, and you long to know that they will share with you their feelings, their innermost thoughts. Every time you see a flower, every time rain falls, every time you see a beautiful rainbow, that is God interjecting himself to give you some happiness. God is a gentleman. He waits for you to ask for help out of these deep, dark things. He stands there. He's not going to let you be utterly cast down, but there are things and times that we human beings let ourselves get into. We have freedom of choice, yes, but realize that there are consequences for some of those choices. Just like the Israelites found out the consequence in going their way when they just didn't want to wait any longer for God, a whole lot of things happened. They wandered the desert for 40 years. There's no way it took them that long to cross the desert other than the fact that they didn't do what God said do. Moses himself thought that he was doing the best he could, and he was. But because he didn't totally obey God, he was blessed to see them go into the land of promise, but he couldn't go in. You see, God is a loving God, but there are some things, and disobedience is one of them, that he just doesn't tolerate. Now, he forgives, but there are consequences to that immediate action. It might not come right away, but it does come. Some people call it karma. What goes around comes around. You might not believe in karma. It doesn't matter, because karma believes in you. If you think that you can just treat people any kind of way and get away with it, if you think that you have riches or glory or profound names for yourself, and that way you can talk to anybody you want to, any way you want to, you have no idea how wrong you are. The God we serve is no respecter of person, and he won't allow you to get away with hurting someone else. Valley times can come from things that are real, but it can also come from things that you have thought, things that you have done to others, and God's letting you see that. I have a real close relative that is gone on to the next side now, that said to me while I was helping him to get out of the bed, "God is really dealing with me, isn't he?" And I looked at him quite strangely, and I wanted to know what made him think that. He never shared with me what made him think that. I don't know to this day, but he knew. And he accepted his infirmity as part of maybe that's what God was showing him, that he always thought that he didn't need anybody else. And he was quick to tell you he didn't need you or anybody like you with a few profane words stringing on the end of it. But in the end, he needed everybody and anybody that would help or could help. And he needed them more and more as his sickness wore on. Then toward the end, I saw a change in him. Not that he was going to be healed on this side, but that he was healed from the inside, that he had made his peace with his God, and that valley experience of someone who could dance and sing and was quite athletic, having to stay in the bed and wait for somebody to even change you when you couldn't make it to the bathroom. That's humbling. And he understood that. And he died with a smile on his face. So I have no reason to think anything other than he and God made their peace. Now, I said that there are times when I myself, I'm in the valley. This is one of those times because things have been happening so quickly and so long with all the pandemic, and I have lost. I can't even count. I've lost count of the people that I'm connected to that have died themselves or lost relatives and loved ones themselves. And I'm standing in the gap praying for them. And somehow I didn't allow all of the energy to just flow out. You see, that's important too. Valleys have a way of having two sides. You're not going to find a valley that's a cul-de-sac. And things go in and they flow through, which lets you know that you can come out of a valley of despair. Even the valley of the shadow of death, you don't walk through alone. But for some reason, I held all of the energy and the feelings of the other people. And I think it was because I hadn't come to grips with the fact that this is a stagnating period in everybody's life. And even though they were calling me and asking me for help, I was going through the same thing that they were going through. And while I know innately, intelligently, that God will not leave me alone, there are times when things hit so quickly that I really don't have time to sit and say, but your promise is. That's why I always say, God, help me to work and speak with truth from the words of yours that I have stored in my heart. So, because you don't have time when things happen to go thumbing through the Bible and try to find things. So watching my friend go through her valley experiences and remembering some of the past ones that I've had led me to quickly jump up and say, that was the past and look where I am now. And I'm here. I've been put here at this time, in this moment, for such a time as this that I could possibly help someone else. And that's what I am dedicated to doing. That's why my radio show is so important to me. To be able to talk to people, or maybe something I've said you listened to and it helped you. That's why I'm here. Our purpose of even having a valley experience. I say it all the time. You cannot have a test without a testimony. And when tests come, and they surely will, just know that if you surrender it and give it to God, they don't last long. But you have to learn from that test, or you will repeat it, or maybe something worse. I had a teacher one time that told us, God gives you chances. He throws a pebble to get your attention, and you don't pay attention. He throws a little bigger rock in the form of a little bigger challenge, but you still don't pay attention. So the next time he throws a brick, and we all know if a brick hits you just right, it's going to stop you in your tracks. I always say surrender. Surrender does not mean woe is me and I can never get back up. Surrender is looking to the hills. That's where your strength comes from. Hold your head up. Hold your arms up. Embrace the energy that comes from God. Know that you are a vessel of that energy. And as you channel that energy from God through yourself and out of yourself to others, you are creating a flow, an ebb and a flow that can't be broken, because you are now connected to the source, and the source is that mighty river that never dries up. The very next time you feel like you can't make it, or you don't know how you're going to make it, remember this: you don't have to know how. The battle's not yours. You do what you can where you are with what you have. But what you have is the most important thing in the world. And what you have is your knowledge that God will never leave you, never forsake you. And if you ask, he'll walk with you until you can't walk anymore. And then he carries you. It's like that poem, Footsteps. The man watched his life and he said, Lord, I've noticed that the most important times of my life, the most trying times in my life, I only see one set of footprints in the sand. And God said, child, I would never leave you. You only see one set of footprints because they're mine. And that's because I carried you. Just know that you are always being carried by God. All you have to do is ask. Give him opportunity to share in, like I say, the most minute decisions that you think anybody with common sense could make. Yeah, you can. But add God to it and watch how easily those little things become absolutely nothing. They may even become joys. I've determined now that I call some of my worst times and obstacles, I used to call them stumbling blocks, then I called them obstacles, and now I call them footstones, because that's how I'm walking over the rough waters of life, is thinking about God having me. I can't swim a stroke, but unlike Peter, I refuse to look down and fall. This is Reverend Lydia, and I'm telling you, your life is worthwhile. Valleys and mountains, everything has a purpose. You have a purpose. Decide that you're going to live your purpose. And as always, I always say, relax, release, and relate. Relax your mind, release your cares, and relate everything in your life to the fact that God loves you and God will always take care of you. Enjoy the rest of your day. Be blessed.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
So long. Hello, this is author Tammy T. Pope, and this is How to Overcome the Blues Dealing with Difficult People. In the next 20 minutes, I am going to give you some tips, tools, and strategies to deal with those people that you really need to love and work with from a distance. So how do you first deal with difficult people? Number one, teach them how to treat you by setting boundaries. One thing that I am known for saying is that you need to let people know your who, what, when, where, why, how, and more importantly, how much when it comes to you either personally or professionally. And you need to make that known from the jump. If you don't, you will give yourself the blues. Second thing, stand by those boundaries. Do not let them wear you down simply because they don't want to rise to the new standard that you have set for your life and your business. You have to let them know that what worked in the past will not work anymore in the present and will not be brought into the future. So with these two things, you may say, well, what do I do with the person who either refuses to respect my boundaries or for the person who expects me to make an exception for them? And it's simple. Remove yourself from that situation. Because your boundaries, values, mores, and morals deserve to be respected. Nobody in your life should have the clout or the influence to bring you down off of your boundaries. Because if you bend once, they will break you. Think about a child, if you're a parent. That child will come to you and they will ask you for something that they know you've already said that they can't have or they can't do. And you keep saying no, 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 no every time they come to you, but then you get tired of hearing them ask you about the same thing, so you agree to it. Just so you can have some peace, just so you can get them out of your face. Then something else comes along, and you get back to saying that no multiple times. And then they hit you with this. Well, the last time I asked you for something, you ended up letting me do it. So why is this time different? That will happen in your personal life and in your professional life. When you don't stick to the boundaries that you set, don't be so afraid to lose a personal or professional connection over your boundaries. Because if that person wants to be a part of your mission or your vision, be it your personal or your professional, your boundaries will never be an issue to them. But the day that you let them break through because you're trying to preserve a relationship or make money, they've already gotten through the door. There's no foot in the door. They've already come in to the door and they've had a seat. So teach people how to treat you by setting boundaries. Stick to those boundaries. Don't be afraid to hold people accountable to those boundaries for in dealing with difficult people. If you have let them get to you, bounce back. You will never be too far gone to get back to who you were before with a difficult person. Once you see that you have done for them whatever it is, work on your bounce back. Whatever it has cost you, work towards getting it back. If you can, because some things that you give up in order to do for a difficult person will not come back to you. But for the things that you are able to reestablish and bring back in your life, do so once you are done with that difficult person. I see it all the time in the business world. After people have dealt with a difficult person, a difficult group, or a difficult demographic, you will see their policies, procedures, and their prices change. They do that because they do not want to be sidelined, sidetracked, nor sideswiped by anyone like that in the future. So they bounce back by making sure that their policies, procedures, and prices protect them from those people. I know that I have looked at businesses who have changed policies on certain things, and I always wonder who messed up, who screwed them over, who messed them up for them to have made such drastic changes in their policies, procedures, and prices. Because you will know that they've had a bad experience with someone if you read through the lines of those changes. The same thing applies to you. And you will know when people realize that you have made those changes because they'll start saying things like this: "She didn't used to be like that. They didn't used to have that policy. They didn't used to do things like that. It didn't always cost that much. I didn't have to make an appointment before. I didn't have to pay a deposit before. I could call her after 9 o'clock. I could ask her to do work on the weekends." Well, when you have dealt with difficult people and you're working on your bounce back, those will be things that you change, and those changes won't always be well received. However, I tell people all the time, it's not about making other people proud and making other people feel better. It is about you doing what you need to do to bounce back, make yourself feel better, and to be proud of, celebrate, and clap for yourself. Because when it comes to dealing with difficult people, many of them know your strength. They know your potential. They know your gifts. They know what you're trying to do. And because they feel like they're going to lose you in some way, they become difficult on purpose. Because they want to wear you down to the point to where you stay right there with them. They are actually happy that you have the blues and that you are as miserable as they are. So when you see yourself in that situation, you know that it is time for you to work on your bounce back. And once you have worked out your bounce back, the next step is to repeat everything we just went through. Once you bounce back, set those boundaries. Or should I say, reset those boundaries. Add or subtract as you need to. Because now that you've gone through what you've gone through in dealing with that difficult person, there may be a few other things that people need to know before they come into your personal or your professional space. Once you've established those boundaries, stick to them. And don't be afraid to let go of any connection that during your bounce back is about to take you down that same road, because it is not worth it. Because during that bounce back, you have done or should have done three things. Risen above your frustrations, reclaimed your life, and evolved into the person whom you need to be after your bounce back is complete. And once you have become that person, the blues should be back to something that you hear on the radio on Saturday morning. Dealing with difficult people is not a life and business rule. It's not a must do, have to do, or a crucial thing to do. You are allowed to vet whoever wants to come into your personal and your professional space. And if you sense from the beginning or even in your bounce back that this is going to be a difficult human being to deal with, you can choose to not deal with them. And you can change that difficult to anything. It could be someone who is always negative. I know I have people in my circle whom I have had to stop and say, you know what? Did anything go right for you today? Did you accomplish anything? Yes, I understand that you're going through this situation, but were you able to do anything at all today to get you one step closer to rectifying this difficult thing in your life? I force them to reframe their conversation. And just to take it a step further, if they start out the first conversation of the day with something negative and you haven't even said good morning, I'm one of those petty people who will respond back, good morning, I'm doing great, thanks for asking. In doing that, I am showing them and teaching them how to treat me. The first thing that you need to say to me is good morning. Now, do I understand that there will be times when it's an extremely chaotic situation and they may not be able to talk, or I may answer the phone and they are screaming at the top of their lungs because something catastrophic happened? Yes. And I allow myself to be in that moment with them until they have emptied out and gotten everything out. However, when that is not the case, when it's a regular day-to-day conversation, if I see that that conversation is going to turn out to be negative or turn out to be difficult, I reframe it. And I'm starting to see a lot of people do that in the professional realm. One of the mastermind groups I'm in has everybody to go around and share before we get to the topic of the week. You have to start with a win before you start talking about what's going wrong. And if you don't, they will stop you and say, start with a win, start with a positive. You can find something. So you have to evaluate each situation for what it is. So we've talked about difficult people. We've talked about negative people. I want to end talking about those people who are just simply throwing shade, and that is all that they do. They never have a good word to say about anybody. And if something good is going on, they're waiting for it to go wrong. Those are people that you don't need to have in your personal nor your professional circle. So how do you deal with them? You tell them, you know what? What you're talking about right now is not something that I want to absorb in my spirit right now. This is someone whom I'm going to support. And if I see things going awry, I'm going to do what I can to help. And you should do the same. Because this talking that we're doing is not going to remedy the situation. This requires action. And while that person may look at you as though you are a seven-headed hydra, you said what you said, and you need to stand by that. So while difficult, negative, petty, gossiping people can give us the blues, we can overcome it by simply showing them how we want to be treated, how we want to be spoken to, setting those boundaries and sticking to them and not being afraid of letting them go if they cross the line. As always, God bless, Godspeed. In all that you do, keep charging and watch out for the blues.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
I know how you feel, fighting for another breath, searching for the strength to lift your legs another step. Wounded by the past, how long will it last? Buried by the heavy weight, it won't be long. Keep holding on, you won't have to wear those chains. Help is on the way. Heaven's on your side. Every prayer is heard. Your rescue's coming just in time. Lift up your eyes, look to the hills. You won't be overcome. It won't be long. Keep holding on, sure as the rising sun. Help is on the way. But it isn't over yet.
Hosted by Suzanne Mosley, author of the Southern Fried Keto Foodie Cookbook Series. The following program is not a source of medical advice. Suzanne Mosley and the coaches for the Southern Fried Keto Foodie are not medical doctors, dietitians, or nutritionists. Please consult your doctor regarding information discussed on the show or before beginning any type of weight loss program.
Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. When you begin to think about weight loss or achieving greater health, the first place most people's minds drift to is working out or the gym. For decades, fitness through working out has been the number one marketed solution for your need to lose weight. Although on the ketogenic diet, weight loss is simply a side effect to achieving ketosis and leveling out your insulin response to your dietary consumption, many diet participants want to also gain strength and muscle tone on the ketogenic diet. This is where some dieters decide to push beyond the standard lose weight mentality and begin to set larger goals for themselves. Although working out is not a prerequisite to keto, many will want to add physical fitness to enhance their ultimate goals. But working out when in ketosis poses a few questions that I'd like to address today, along with a few helpful tips for how to begin working out. Welcome again to the Weight of the World radio program on Lifted Authors Network. I'm your host, Suzanne Mosley, the author of the Southern Fried Keto Foodie Cookbook Series and Ketogenic Lifestyle Coach. Within my broadcast, my purpose is not only to guide you along your ketogenic path, but also help you navigate other factors that play into your everyday success. When coaching my clients, I like to take a big picture perspective. Your health is not only a result of what you eat, but also what you surround yourself with. Exercise makes a great addition to any weight loss plan, including the ketogenic diet. But as with many exercise plans and diet combos, you will need to know what to expect as you build endurance and stamina. Since your main source of energy is a little different than other diets, what you experience may also be a little different when you work out on other than when you work out on other diet plans. Let me explain what you will most likely experience when you begin to work out on keto. I'm sure most of you have had at least tried to work out at some point during your life. You may have even been to a personal trainer for assistance and advice. One of the first things a trainer will tell you is to carb up before you work out so that you can have a bit more energy. But on keto, carbing up is actually counterproductive to your cause. You do not want to break out of ketosis, as this can cause a yo-yo dieting effect that so many of us are trying to break away from in the first place. So what happens if you don't eat carbs before a workout? Well, in the beginning, before your body has become fat adapted, you may feel a bit more fatigued in the first 30 minutes to an hour of your workout. During this time period, depending on your workout intensity, you may feel a bit more sluggish than you did when you worked out on a carb-dependent diet. During this time, you would typically be burning carbs before your body switches to fat-burning mode. Without carbs to burn first, your body will begin by depleting glycogen stores in your muscles and small amounts that are stored in your liver. Once those reserves have been depleted, your body moves to start burning energy from your fat stores, aka your adipose tissue, or what is most commonly referred to as your fat cells. By not having that boost of a carb rush, your workout may seem a bit more grueling than normal in the beginning of your plan. This is due to the fact that you are changing what you actually use for energy first, transitioning from carb burning to fat burning, and in this case, I'm referring to fat as fuel for energy in the form of triglycerides. These triglycerides are also consumed by the body as its need for an energy source increases. With the ketogenic diet, those triglycerides are minimal, so the body begins to pull quickly from adipose fat, and this is the result you are looking to achieve. True fat loss. So what is that new fatigue you're feeling? Does it really mean that keto is not good for you? It feels the same as when you starve yourself. No energy, weak muscles, and so on. Rest assured that that fatigue might feel the same, but once you've achieved the fat burning stage, much quicker in ketosis, I might add, you tap into an energy source that a typical carb-burning body may not shift gears into as fast. The increased feeling of fatigue is normal, especially for those just starting out on keto. Once your body is fat-adapted, the transition to fat-burning during workouts will minimize, and you will begin to feel a rush of energy like you may have experienced before with carb-loading before a workout. To explain this a little in a little bit more of a simplistic fashion, on keto, there are no carbs to burn in the beginning of your workout. So your body automatically begins pulling from glycogen from your muscles, your liver, and blood. Then your body begins the fat burning process. Depending on how much your body can pull from glycogen stores and how your body reacts to the change in fuel sources, you can bypass much of this first hour fatigue and begin to feel energy a bit faster. For those who intermittent fast, working out in a fasted state can be great for energy. Once you're in a fasted state for several hours, your body has already been in a fat-burning stage during this time. Once a workout begins, many have experienced a heightened feeling of energy. I have personally worked out in both fasted states as well as after having a meal. I now prefer working out in a fasted state because the beginning fatigue diminishes much faster for me. I would venture to guess that instead of taking a half hour or more to begin fat burning over depleting glycogen stores, I begin to feel the rush at around 15 minutes. This makes my 1 hour workout more effective as I'm burning fat faster than I would had my body actually had to work through more glycogen or carbs before the fat burning process began. I burn more fat due to more time spent in that fat burning mode rather than having to waste time burning through more glycogen stores or working out after eating. There have been many diet plans that suggest grazing to keep your metabolism revved up. But with keto, grazing is a non-issue. There's no reason to graze because you somewhat have a built-in energy source. The more weight you have to lose, the more places you have to store that energy source. Your metabolism is already using those adipose tissue stores, and therefore it will automatically turn to fat burning and keep it going. Just in this statement alone, you can see that intermittent fasting on keto is not starvation. Starvation is when you don't have a fuel source. Clearly, with keto, you have a fuel source readily available even when you haven't eaten. As long as you have an above normal body fat content, you have more than enough fuel to keep going without negative effects that starvation causes. This is why ultra-restricted calorie counting diets absolutely make no sense to me. Starvation is not a successful path to health. Only loss on the weight on your weight on the scale. And you may be asking yourself, well, what's wrong with weight loss only? In essence, weight loss is a great success for most to get healthy, but if you're not fueling your body with what it needs, you risk your body losing muscle tone, which is not good. Your muscles need protein, and your body absolutely needs a fuel source. Without them, you stand to lose muscle tone and may even experience other deficiencies throughout the body that are straining your whole body function. So let me give you a few tips for starting a workout that may help with the transitional phase. For those of you who need a low impact or easy start plan, always begin easy. I have a board on my Pinterest account titled Fitness for Foodies. This board is full of easy exercises to start with to get you into the routine of working out. These exercises are either low impact or for those struggling with mobility. There are a few that may be a step up from beginner that you can utilize to build stamina. You may not be able to begin with the repetitions I've suggested, but you can use them as your goal as you increase to your endurance level. As silly as this sounds, I love exercises where I'm on my back or seated. Of course, the foodie in me wants the easy way out, right? From leg lifts to glute bridges, these exercises actually produce a considerable amount of muscle tone, even though they may seem easy. When you increase your repetitions, you will absolutely feel the burn. I have woken up some mornings thinking I did not hurt myself the night before, and I was so stoked up I couldn't walk. Epsom salt baths were in the works for that day. Don't hurt yourself. Don't push yourself too far. Chair exercises are great to start out with, and even workouts from your bed can be a great starting point to get you there. You can do those glute bridges and those leg lifts and those types of things, or your ab muscles. You can work those while you're laying flat on your bed so you have somewhere comfortable to start out. Here's a tip if you're struggling for motivation in the mornings. Before you get out of bed, always pray. And then lay on your back and bend your knees with your feet flat on the bed. Lift your head and shoulders up off the bed just to a bit to engage your core and your abs, and then touch your heels from side to side. Reach to your side with your right hand and touch your right heel. Then repeat on the left. Do these until you start to feel your ab muscle strain. Once you feel the burn, try to do about 10 or 15 more, and then rest. As for chair exercises, there are several that are low impact, but you can get your blood flowing just doing things such as arm circles, side twists, and seated leg lifts. Don't feel like you have to start off with multiple sets of reps. You can start with small counts and work your way up. When I first started working out, I began with a very simple and low impact plan. I started with 10 reps, 1 to 2 times on each exercise I performed, then worked my way to 2 sets of 10, and then 3, and then I increased reps to 15 and to 20. It didn't take me as long as I thought to start implementing more difficult exercises with a considerable increase in my reps. My 10-minute workout in the beginning increased to 30 minutes, and now I put in an hour. Through this process, I build stamina and endurance in baby steps. Sometimes baby steps are necessary and will get you to your fitness goals faster than you pushing yourself to the limit each time. You don't want to overwork your body one day, then struggle to get in any exercise the next day because you overdid it. I've done it a lot. Take it slow and easy with a steady pace. You can do these types of exercises periodically throughout the day to help you build stamina, then combine your exercises to build endurance through one total workout session. If you are someone who's always wanted to be a runner, you can actually do that. Just try using the couch to 5K method. It starts you out with small bursts of intensity of increasing walking to jogging. As you continue the pattern, you can effectively increase your stamina and can begin running with veteran runners before you know it. If you're already an avid fitness buff, just back down your intensity in the beginning just a little bit to just above a comfortable state, and then increase as your energy levels improve. Do not look at this as backtracking. You are not backtracking, but rather adapting to your new way of fueling your body. It won't take long for you to get back to the level you're already achieving. Also, don't be surprised when you exceed your goals and blow past where you've struggled with to begin with. Muscle building may intensify depending on your existing routine and how fast you can become fat adapted. Building muscle on keto can be easier than you think. You just have to know what your limits are, stay consistent, and know that your fitness journey is also not a race to the finish line, but a lifestyle change that will have rewarding effects. Pace yourself, people. Pace yourself. Because if you don't pace yourself, you're going to hurt yourself. And also, for people who have already worked out beyond these limits, and they're backtracking, or what they feel like they're backtracking, you're really not. I promise you, you are going to go far beyond any goals or struggling points that you've had so far. Also, don't compare yourself to others in any way. I'm not just talking about the diet itself and your weight loss and your inches lost and everything else that women especially love to compare with other women. But also, you need to include that the results from your increased exercise may not have as fast or as slow as results as other people. You are your own unique individual. Remember that just because someone is the same build and starting weight as you does not mean that you will have equally timed results or even the same results at all. There are many factors that come into play with each person. One person may be able to lose a considerable amount of weight and never see one bit of loose skin. But another person could honestly qualify for skin removal surgery, although their journey seems similar. In this particular example, it could be that the two people have different internal collagen production levels or has spent more time of their life with extra weight than the other one. Another really good example is for the men. We have two men that are the same height, same starting weight, and otherwise healthy, but one still may see faster results than the other one. Again, there are several factors at play, but just one of them could be that one of the men has yo-yo dieted through his life, whereas the other one has not. This can lead the previous yo-yo dieting male to lose slower due to difference in metabolic situations. This is going to be the same for fitness goals as well as dieting. Comparison really is a thief. Don't let the enemy use this to make you stumble. So let me go over the key points to including fitness into your keto plan. Number one, consult your doctor for any concerns or limitations you may need to be aware of starting a fitness plan. This is always advised because your doctor is going to be able to, just like in high school when you would get a physical for sports, he's going to be able to give you that same type of physical to make sure if there's any places you need to place limitations or restrictions when beginning. You don't want to get out there, start lifting weights, and pull your back out. It is not fun. Number two, remember, you are not in competition with anyone but yourself. And you're only in competition with yourself from the days prior. If you're seeing progress, it's still steps in the right direction. Keep moving forward. As long as you're moving forward, your progress will continue to move forward. Number three, start off slow and easy. You could sabotage yourself from the beginning if you don't. You can and will work up to what you want to accomplish, but you have to have consistency and you have to be patient. It will come in due time. Same with the ketogenic diet. Just continue to be patient and continue to watch. As long as you see progress, keep going forward. Number four, don't be hard on yourself. This is a journey and not a race. This is a lifestyle change and not a temporary quick fix. If you're on the ketogenic diet, then you've already been told that this is a way of life. And it really is. If you're looking to only lose a couple of pounds for an event and you're not really concerned about whether or not you're going to have to re-lose it again, then maybe keto's not for you. But if you have absolutely struggled all of your life or even part of your life with being overweight or obese, and you're looking to find an avenue that you haven't tried before, I can promise you that the ketogenic diet is an absolute obvious option, especially with the weight loss I've lost, my husband and my daughter, and also many friends and clients as well. And lastly, don't focus on anyone but yourself. And I know that's kind of like comparison, but I say focus because you have to focus on your steps, not someone else's steps. And as long as you're taking those steps one day at a time, you will continue to move forward. And I wouldn't be giving credit where it is due if I didn't tell you, absolutely lean on Jesus himself. Because of him, we can, of course, do all things. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you're interested in learning more about the ketogenic diet and how it can help you in your journey to better health, check out our page and join our free support group on Facebook. You can also find us on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter. Check out our cookbook series, The Southern Fried Keto Foodie, in paperback and nook version through barnesandnoble.com, or you can find us in digital form as well on Amazon Kindle. If you're in need of a coach to help you create your own ketogenic plan, feel free to contact us for more information on how we can assist you. Email us at author@southernfriedketofoodie.com to request an information packet regarding our services. Join me every second and fourth Thursday at 10:30 a.m. Central Time, 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time for more episodes of Weight of the World. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of the day.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free, USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll free, international callers. 1-888-201-5313.